from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda, and we begin in San Bernardino. One of the two students wounded in yesterday's school shooting is in stable condition in a local hospital. But another child has died, as well as the teacher and the gunman. KPCC's Kyle Stokes reports.
Police officials say Cedric Anderson walked into a special education classroom at San Bernardino's North Park Elementary School, where his wife Karen Smith was teaching. There were 15 students in the room when Anderson opened fire, killing Smith. Police do not believe Anderson was there to target students, but two children behind the teacher were struck by gunfire. One of those kids, 8-year-old Jonathan Martinez, later died at a nearby hospital. First grader Isaac Smith did not witness the shooting, but described what it was like to be evacuated from the building.
People were all talking about like guns and stuff, and then a lot of people were all like talking about things and all, and some people have been crying because they're a little upset about it.
After they were reunited at a nearby high school, Isaac's mom, Heather Savage, said she felt rattled.
You send your kids to school all day while you're at work, and you expect them to be safe. And then something like this happens, and you're like, so now what do I do? Am I supposed to send my kid back to school when it reopens and then just hope for the best?
School district officials say North Park Elementary will remain closed through at least Wednesday and that counseling assistance will be available. For the California Report, I'm Kyle Stokes in San Bernardino.
Let's move now to Northern California. There, an early earthquake warning system that's in the pilot phase will now link up that part of California with Oregon and Washington. The Shake Alert system aims to give people critical notice as much as 2 minutes before violent shaking begins. Jennifer Strauss is a spokesperson for the Berkeley Seismological Laboratory, one of the project's partners. She says it's important that all three states are using the same technology.
Earthquakes do not respect state boundaries at all. So while Seattle is pretty far away and not likely to impact things happening in Northern California so much, earthquakes in Oregon certainly can.
The alert system relies on a network of seismic sensors buried underground. The system will need more sensors and more testing. Researchers hope to have a limited public alert system ready sometime next year. Let's go now to Southern California, to San Diego County, home to almost perfect weather, delicious burritos, the Lemon Grove lemon, and some 3.6 million pounds of nuclear waste. As much as we'd love to talk about burritos and sunshine, we're going to focus on that nuclear waste. That's because the owners of the dormant San Onofre nuclear power plant have agreed to discuss moving that waste off-site. Southern California Edison made this decision in response to lawsuits from environmental groups that caught many by surprise, including San Diego Union-Tribune staff writer Jeff McDonald, who joins us from his office. Good morning, Jeff.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So Edison had planned to bury this waste at site at San Onofre, and now they say they will move it, and that's a pretty big change of heart for the power company.
It is, although I should clarify, they haven't said they will move it. What they've said is they'll discuss moving it. They were facing a lawsuit filed by some environmentalists after the Coastal Commission approved a permit allowing the waste to be buried at the beach near the plant along I-5. What they agreed to on Friday was the idea of starting settlement negotiations to make the lawsuit go away. So it's not clear where it might end up, but anywhere not near the beach and not near 8 million residents within 50 miles is I think mostly preferred by the environmental community.
And Jeff, as you were telling me earlier, there is no governmental negotiator at the table as Edison looks to transport this waste.
Not right now. The settlement talks will unfold later this spring between the lawyer representing Citizens Oversight, the nonprofit group that filed the lawsuit, and Southern California Edison lawyers. What the Coastal Commission told me last Friday was that if the negotiations proceed to a point where the fuel may eventually be moved, then they will join the discussions at that point. But right now, it's a private entity and a private utility conducting these negotiations, which does seem somewhat strange for a public policy question of this magnitude.
And is it normal for the government to just kind of defer and give over their stake in it to the corporation they're supposed to regulate?
Oh, boy, that is a tough question. I don't think there's a lot of precedent for this situation, so I wouldn't say yes. And frankly, I've been writing about this issue for several years now, and nothing's been normal about this case regarding the closure of the plant, the way its expenses were allocated between the company and its customers, and then now the storage of the nuclear waste issue. It's new territory all around, I think.
Jeff McDonald, thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
Europe has it, and so does Canada. Now many Californians are rallying around the idea of single-payer health care. Efforts to establish state-funded universal coverage in California have failed in the past, but supporters say it's a good time to try again because voters are angry about the issue and squabbling over Obamacare. KQED health editor Carrie Feibel went to Sacramento and reports lawmakers say two things. One, cool idea. Two, where's the money?
This time around, State Senator Ricardo Lara is leading the charge to radically remake California's health system.
At the end of the day, it's the right moral thing to do. We live in the United States of America. We live in the most powerful state in the union. It is the right thing for us to make sure that we fight to ensure that everyone has coverage.
Lara's bill contains a long list of benefits the statewide program would cover, not just doctors and hospitals, but also prescriptions, vision, and dental care. California Health and Human Services Secretary Diana Dooley says she understands the appeal.
I think in California, there continues to be a great deal of interest and enthusiasm around single payer. It is very easy to talk about, and it certainly takes advantage of the anxiety people have about health insurance companies.
Lara's plan does away with all those pesky premiums, deductibles, and copays. So where would the state get the money? Past proposals, both here and in states like Vermont and Colorado, have suggested the answer is new payroll taxes. The last time California looked at the potential price tag was 9 years ago. It showed single payer would cost the state more than $200 billion, and that's per year. That's why Assemblyman Jim Wood is going to watch and wait for now.
I haven't seen how they want to pay for it yet.
Wood chairs the Assembly Health Committee.
I believe in universal coverage, and I'd love to see that happen in the future, but the devil's in the details.
There's another obstacle. The federal government would have to give California permission to take the money meant for Medicare and Medicaid and use it in a totally new way.
I'm not sure under what construct that could even occur.
Jennifer Kent directs the department that runs the state's Medicaid program.
The federal government would have to essentially turn those funds over to a state.
Kent isn't saying it could never happen. But so far, no state that's looked at single payer has figured it out. Senator Lara says he expects to have more information about the funding in a month or two. As part of his research, he's in Canada this week on a fact-finding trip with two other senators. Lara takes heart from the fact that Canada's system began in just one province and then spread to others. It did so despite resistance and over many decades.
We envision California being the first state to implement a universal health care program and then having that then be the model for the rest of the other states.
Lara says people will have to be patient. His goal is to get the bill at least through the Senate this year and then push it farther forward in 2018. For the California Report, I'm Carrie Feibel in Sacramento.
And we begin in San Bernardino, where a teacher and a student are dead after another school shooting that happened yesterday. The suspected killer was the estranged husband of a special education teacher. Authorities say the 53-year-old gunman killed himself after killing his wife in front of that special education classroom. We're going to turn now to Loretta Whitson. She's the executive director of the California Association of School Counselors, and she teaches at the University of La Verne in Southern California. Loretta, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
This shooting occurred at North Park Elementary School. I want you to hear now from Isaac Smith. He's a first grader at North Park. This is what he said.
People were all talking about, like, guns and stuff, and then a lot of people were all, like, talking about things, and and some people have been crying because they're a little upset about it.
Now, Isaac Smith did not actually see the shooting, thank goodness. And I'm curious, with elementary school kids, how does imagination play into their healing in this process?
Well, as adults, we don't want to avoid the subject with students, and their fear can grow out of proportion if there's not an opportunity to express their feelings and to identify with what is the facts in the situation, and making normality out of the grieving and the distress of the situation, so allowing for time for students like this young child to speak on how they're feeling and to identify and have adults let them know that there are safe places for them.
Loretta, I'm curious, how long have you been in this field and how have you seen school shootings change your profession?
I've been in the profession for 30 years. And what I think it has happened is that it's made our schools and our children kind of desensitized.
I was surprised to see that the video footage of the man on the United flight got much more attention than the school shooting did yesterday.
Yes, I was surprised by that too. It's like society has begun to accept this as part of what could happen.
Loretta Whitson, thank you for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Yesterday, for the third year in a row, sardine fishers got bad news. The Pacific Fishery Management Council announced that the commercial sardine season will be closed until 2018. Today, the bad news could come for the commercial Chinook salmon season. Fish managers are expected to weigh in today on final rules for the season's catch. The salmon have been hurt by lower river flows caused by the drought and fewer food sources due to warmer ocean temperatures.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Barracuda Networks, security, data protection, and application delivery solutions for physical networks and public cloud services. Learn more at barracuda.com/products. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
I was walking around the neighborhood with my mom, and I could tell she had some shit up on her mind. She turned to me and said, "Mike, don't you want to meet someone?" I said, "No, I want to meet everyone. I want to get drunk with the punks and do bump with the king. I want to creep down the hall and go to bed with the queen. And when they come for my head, well, I'll be somewhere at sea, singing loud, singing proud. It's good to be free, 'cause I won't..."
This is Michael Brennan Williams, a.k.a. songwriter Mikey Mike. And if you live in Los Angeles, you've seen him. He's on billboards, bus stops, telephone poles, and he looks like a hot mess. His hair is dreaded. His eyes are, I don't know, an 8 on the burnout scale. And these signs advertise him being a deadbeat dad. They urge Angelenos to call a number or go to a website and report if you see him. But when you do those things, you get this song. Well, when you are looking for something to read later this afternoon, come visit kqed.org/arts to learn how Mikey Mike made advertising an integral part of his art. You can also find a link now on my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. And that's the California Report for Tuesday, April 11th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.